Welcome to your Tuesday edition of Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's right. I'm sorry for the little audio pops. We're still working everything out and getting a little back and forth figured out here.
Remind you that we are a news show. We come to you every day live, but this is the news show that apparently is motivating people like my sister to be so afraid of what's happening in geopolitics that she wants to buy chickens. So
and doomsday prepping.
Yes.
But, you know, hey, I mean, all because we showed last night and we've got a lot to talk about today on the show, a jam-packed show. So if you're new here, welcome. Please subscribe. We cover stories you're not going to see in the mainstream media largely, or you're going to get a bullshit story, a version of that story in the mainstream media. But last night we covered the Shanghai story. The lockdowns that are absolutely draconian, people jumping off of balconies there in Shanghai.
Because they can't actually get food. They're starving. They can't feed their children. So after yesterday's show, my sister informs me that it's time to learn how to
get some chickens
so we can have fresh eggs.
So yeah, we're on that, guys. David, Philip, you guys going to get some chickens?
Yep. I'm getting a steak in the freezer, so I'm
getting doomsday prepping goats.
Doomsday prepping goats. There you go.
Hey, you know, and also we shouldn't crap all over doomsday preppers. We did a story here on the show a few weeks ago about how doomsday prepping has become more mainstream, and it's not like they're freaks. All right, it's just planning for the future.
It used to be just for fundamental Christian white men with guns, right? But now it's gone absolutely mainstream. But I'd sort of reject the term doomsday prepping. It's almost like I see it as a plan to return to living off the earth, not doomsday prepping. It just means that, okay, this capitalistic society where I can go and buy individually wrapped cookies for my children will no longer be a thing.
Susie in our chat says, over on Facebook, she says, the show is great. The show is not scary, but reality. Yeah.
All right, good.
Thank you. I don't want
anybody to be afraid. I want you to be happy that you're here. But there are plenty of stories today that make me pissed off. So I invite you to join me in that emotion.
Here's a little tease about what we're going to talk about on the show. We're going to talk about these really total garbage CPI consumer price index numbers. Don't let your eyes glaze over with these numbers. These came out today from, we got these from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We knew they were coming. The White House was girding its loins for them. They are awful, but it's actually worse than what they're telling us, and they're lying to our face about what these numbers actually mean.
Okay, but the actual numbers that governments are agreeing upon is 8.5%. So last month, we freaked out because the number was 7.7%. That means that in March, you paid 7.7% more for your groceries and your living expenses than you did March of 2021. Well, now, this April, you are paying 8.5% more for your groceries than you did last April 2021. Now, last week, I did feel like the White House was taking a big victory lap over employment numbers and saying, great, this is historic, it's the biggest comeback ever, more people are back to work, fewer people are out of work, but whoever is working is actually making less money, right? So I do feel like the White House was preparing us because we knew, and actually they've been saying this for a long time, numbers are going to be bad, and they are.
Yeah, so inflation accelerated 8.5% is the number you're seeing on your screen. This is what the Wall Street Journal and all major media outlets reported immediately once we got these numbers, 8.5%, as oil prices soar. And then this was the tweets here heard around the world. March inflation, 8.5% from a year ago, highest in 41 years, month over month, up 1.2%, highest since 2005. But wait a second. Wait one hot minute. This number is wildly off and totally inaccurate, and it's way worse. So I'm going to go through this a little bit here and kind of rain on your parade. The Kanza, I like this this tweet, says CPI equals bullshit metric massaged to minimize the reality. Your savings and purchasing power have been getting ravaged. Yet even on their own terms, look back at CPI in the 1990s and 1980s, equivalent of 13% and 17% respectively, not 7.9% or even 8.5%. As usual, you are being lied to. And what exactly is he talking about here? So if you pull up the data on consumer inflation as it compares over the years, like year-to-year change through February of 2022, based on 1980s, if you look at the version like versus the 1980s based version of how CPI was measured back then. Okay, so the way that CPI was measured is in blue. So it's much more accurate to look at the blue line, but the red line is now what we're being spoon-fed.
Okay.
So now, if you look at where we are right now in 2022, again, the way that if we change these data points and weighted totally differently, again, it's way higher than what the White House is telling us. And just look at the overall data here for the annual monthly supply growth of amount of money in circulation. Look at this. This is the United States money that's been produced and printed over the past few years. Look at that gray line there.
Well, that absolutely is something that contributes to inflation. I want to clarify something that the chat room is getting a little offended about. When I talked about doomsday prepping, I was talking about the stereotype used to be that the type of people that doomsday prepped were white Christian conservative voters, right? I am not saying all white men are Christian. I am not saying all conservative voters are preppers. I am not saying anything of the sort. I am saying that the stereotypical doomsday prepper is no longer that subset.
Yeah, you could see it in television and media, and Western media would show it on TV all
the time. And
I
think it's so funny, though, that the media portrays people who try to learn to live self-sustaining as paranoid, right? And the rest of us that live off of this like grocery economy, which is political, we can see this now because of inflationary numbers.
And even in police handbooks say if people are preppers, they have third party candidate bumper stickers, they have the Constitution. Those are things for them to watch out for.
I mean, like
those
are warning signs. So right. I think what Natalie's saying is that whole stereotype is condescending. I think maybe it came out wrong. Way to piss people off right at the top of the show.
Okay, sorry.
I'll just add they forgot the Pacific Northwest liberal hippies that are also doomsday preppers.
But isn't it funny, though? And just follow the money, you guys. Follow the money. Why would they criticize people like that? Why would they criticize people who, like, grow their own food, have their own chickens, live off of the land,
right?
Because they're not on Mother USA's teat.
Exactly, right. So because you're not participating in the GDP, you're actually planning to not live in a geopolitical way that's based on like the trucking of everything you need to live.
Right.
It's crazy to me. But getting back to the inflationary numbers, right? Because those of us who don't know how to live off the land yet, we are then going to be subject to these inflationary pressures. And a Moody's economist, Mark Zandi, said that this is a perfect storm of several things. One, the Russian invasion, which, like, it's really hard to quantify how that's hurting our economy at this point. But let's give it at least, let's put it in the algorithm. Okay. Surging oil prices, duh. China locking down, yes, since we depend so much on Chinese exports. Further disruption to supply chains. Wage growth accelerating. Unfilled positions. He says this is just kind of a scrambled mess leading to painfully high inflation. We'll call this the Denver omelet of inflation. I hope no one from Denver decides now to get upset about what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, have either of you read Daniel Quinn, like Ishmael, My Ishmael?
No, I haven't.
No, I don't even know what it is.
Oh my gosh! So it was like one of the first, like, just really eye opening books I ever read, like truly eye opening. But one of the things he points out in it was how we take, as a society, we take things like food, which can grow freely in the ground. Then we lock it up, and then we have to work our asses off to get some of it back.
So crazy. Wait, okay, so I'm putting this in my...
Yeah, so it's Ishmael, and then My Ishmael, which, as an aside, like, Ishmael was a little bit harder to read because the main character is just so dense sometimes that you're like, come on, man.
Oh, it's a series.
Yeah, he's a fantastic writer, but they're both really good reads, and they're pretty quick
reads. I love what about says in our chat. Every time you prepare for a storm, you're prepping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it is true. It's like it becomes so condescending to hear like how people talk down. I mean...
These are not my stereotypes that I'm talking about that are this, you know, like this is literally was the crux of this NPR story that prepping goes mainstream because we no longer think of it as just this paranoid subset of people any longer. In fact, people who prep, which good point, is anyone who even has an earthquake kit, right?
Right.
Tend to be now younger, skew female, and there is no political affiliation. So
Dan Scott says, I don't think it's paranoid. I'm sad though that we have to consider owning chickens because eggs are so expensive.
Right.
You know, isn't it amazing? Yeah. You can get a chicken. Like, we're in Europe, we can get a chicken for €2. But I know even in the United States, getting a chick is like $3. It's, yeah, it's relatively inexpensive. So think about that $3 chicken producing, you know, an unlimited source of eggs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but thanks
that's
to...
That's a performing asset, right?
And I know a lot of people...
What are those neighborhood rules, the neighborhood associations? Most of them don't allow you to have chickens or anything like that.
Oh, we know this story.
We know this story all too well.
My sister-in-law moved house because of this. She had chickens.
She was living off the land with these chickens, and a neighbor complained about them, and they weren't making any noise. There was no rooster involved. There was no rooster waking people up at 5 a.m.
Yeah,
they didn't make any noise. They had a chicken coop, and they got complaint. And she said, "Fine, I'm not selling my chickens. I'm moving instead."
You know, I feel kind of like we're going to a crazy place because we're talking about self-sustaining living in conjunction with the consumer price index. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a stretch, but is it, right? And so then I think to myself, why doesn't the news do this? Why doesn't the news say, everything's so expensive to live your life the way we currently do? What can you do? You know, like, so I'm struggling with myself because to me it makes perfect sense.
But I think the problem is because from the Wall Street perspective, the way out of it is for us to buy our way out of it. We just need to consume more. It's, yes, you know, it's like the classic GDP, how they use the GDP to look at, you know, like our gross domestic product. It doesn't have any negatives in it. So if you take a forest, which has value of its own, you cut it down, it doesn't have value until it's turned into lumber. You don't actually factor in the loss of forest. It's just now we've made more lumber. You know, it's like everything is designed just to consume, consume, consume. We don't look at it the other way.
Right.
Great point. And again, this is why Wall Street loves inflation, right? Because these, you know, their price, they get to squeeze more Doritos or take fewer Doritos and put them in a bag and charge you more for that bag of Doritos. We've seen this time and time again. And over the past few months, we featured stories here on the show about the size of the things that you buy are now in the grippable container. Like, this is the biggest bullshit store. I love this. You know, when you get the water bottle.
Yeah.
That now has like it says now in a grippable container, and it's shaped like an hourglass. They literally just shaved liquid out of it to make it grippable. No, all they did was just take liquid out of it, and now they're charging you the same amount for it.
Yes.
It's total horseshit. But I want to go back to this CPI number, because the reason they're lying about it and the reason we know they're lying about it is because the Bureau of Labor Statistics said they're lying about it and they don't plan to do anything about it. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics had a meeting in January to fix this whole thing. Now, the problem is the way basically that the CPI is weighted, and what it does is it weights the wrong things, bottom line. And they knew they could fix this. So when you look at the data, the things that are being measured where consumers are spending more money or things of the costs are going up is being weighted differently than it was in the 1980s and the 1990s. Therefore, it's showing inflation as less oppressive, I guess you could say, now. And the actual numbers are much higher. But here, you can go to the Euro's Bureau of Labor Statistics website. I'll link it up here on your screen. And here was their January 2022 meeting, where it says weights for the consumer price index are calculated based on consumer expenditure data from 2019 to 2020. The BLS consider interventions, but decided to maintain the normal procedures. So it's right in their meeting that they literally had a meeting about this to fix it, and they didn't.
Well, yes, but economists have been arguing about this for now, I would say 15 years, right? And since Ben Bernanke sort of decided to capitulate about market perversion. He really didn't want to do it. He was very anti it. He knew this would happen. This was like 2011, right? When he finally did this under pressure from Obama. This is what we get, you guys. And I want to remind you this idea of what an economist I learned about on the Wealthability podcast, Tom Wilbright's podcast, called the Amazon, Walmart, China, the WAC problem, Walmart, Amazon, China. I said that backwards, right? Is that keeping, like, depending on cheaply made products shipped to you quickly from these three sources has made us think that the economy is okay because we are able to flood ourselves with cheaply made goods. But this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, it certainly has. Meanwhile, President Obama is heading to Iowa today.
Obama.
So, President Obama. President Biden.
Okay.
You know, he was at the White House last week and he stole President Biden's thunder, and everyone was super excited to see him. And President Obama even made that joke. He was at the podium and he looked over and he said, Mr. Vice President, and everyone in the room
laughed. I'm sure he did not appreciate that.
No, he said, it was a joke. It was all planned. And then later it was found out that there were like staffers for Biden who were not happy about it. Like, really? You just came into the White House and you called him Mr. Vice President? Anyway, nevertheless, he's not the president. Caddy. President Biden, though, today is heading to Iowa. Why? Because of corn and ethanol subsidies. And he's going to give a speech in a short amount of time on gas prices. And he's going to sign an executive order, which would give a waiver for gas companies to fill their tanks with more of that ethanol shit that, you know, that, you know, is both terrible for the environment and it's also bad for our cars.
So how's it bad for the environment? It's got corn in it.
Oh, it's great corn. Yeah, apparently it's awesome. It's so great. It's great for chickens. But it's
so David and I grew up in Northern Indiana, and we were surrounded by mostly cornfield, but also some soybean. But all of the cornfields in that area, as far as like the whole time I was growing up, every cornfield I saw was for ethanol. None of it was.
How do you know that? Was it signed?
There was an ethanol plant close by. I mean, that's where all of it went. And so it was like, it wasn't feed corn. You couldn't feed it to animals. You couldn't eat it yourself. It was just, it was ethanol corn.
Well, I mean, it's amazing that this is going to happen. So he's going to sign a waiver so that basically we can stick back in ethanol. And there's been years, for years now, there's been a number of members of Congress. Some of them have been braver than others, not the ones from Iowa, of course, but there's been braver ones saying, why is the U.S. government, excuse me, subsidizing ethanol when it's both terribly efficient, it's terribly inefficient for gas. It actually makes it gas less efficient.
Yes.
It's terrible for the environment, and it ruins cars.
It's like the trans fat of gasoline.
And why the hell are we taxpayers still subsidizing this shit?
Well, okay, but in the Wall Street Journal today, it said senior Biden administration officials.
You want me to do it?
That's not going well. Say their decision is based on different authority. They also say the EPA has determined there won't be environmental harm from the change. Okay. So the Biden administration says these are not the drones you're looking for,
what
right?
What the hell are they talking about?
Well, like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
What proof do they have? They'll be like, well, we can print it out for you.
We said that.
This is what our own EPA says. Like, what a crock of shit.
Absolutely it is. But, you know, I was thinking about it. Okay, why would they do this, right? Because it allows us to sort of, like, put filler inside of our gasoline so we think we have more. So it costs less. But I started today doing something I don't normally do and looking at, like, automotive websites on how to really take good care of your car and other vehicles. And it's pretty well agreed upon. Even AAA is anti-ethanol above 10%. It says even 10% will ruin your engine because ethanol separates and attracts water, which then gets into, and moisture, which gets into your engine. And it costs a lot of money to fix, to the tune of thousands of dollars. In fact, I put some screenshots of some of these. So I'm thinking, okay, who wants this? Does the automotive industry want this? Because it will wreck all of our cars and we'll need to, like, look at this. It says it can cause thousands of damage. It's not as simple as just, like, going into the engine or the fuel delivery system. You have to actually change out a lot of parts of the internal pieces of your engine. It's really bad crap. So is there, like, I don't know. I'm just saying, is there something here where the car industry is like, well, let's wreck all these cars? And then,
well, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, so President Biden is going to go there and he's going to say, hey, this is cheaper to produce, right? We're trying to save you money right now at the pump because gas prices are so high. You're feeling the pain at the pump. It's only possible that it's cheaper to produce because taxpayers are subsidizing it.
But it's not, because corn prices are up too.
Yeah, I guess, but it doesn't matter.
No, not you guess. The Wall Street Journal, I mean, at least admits that.
Yes, but we're still subsidizing it, so it really doesn't matter. I mean, more broadly, it doesn't matter. And overall, fuel distributors get their, like, they get this additional incentive to get this blend that they put together. Also, by the way, so we have this, what is it called, a summer mix. Have you guys heard of this summer mix where they mix the ethanol in? They change it. and they reduce the amount because the smog gets so bad. When ethanol, the higher ethanol content creates more water vapor in the air, therefore creates higher greenhouse gases.
When temperatures are high, yeah, like so, in the summer.
Like in winter months, ethanol content needs to be reduced because the ignition temperature of ethanol is higher than gasoline. And so it's amazing. And if you also notice these E85 pumps, I don't know if you've seen them or pay much attention to them. The E85 pumps are the ethanol pumps. They're like few and far between now. They're getting more and more scarce. So this whole, we're going to subsidize this failed technology and use taxpayer dollars to do it, totally failed. And now the president is hanging his hat on this. And meanwhile, can we also just say gas prices aren't where they used to be 4 weeks ago? We're seeing a huge drop in gas prices. So I don't get this need for this. Listen.
Yeah, Neil, some more relief. In fact, our third straight weekly decline in the national average. The average price now nationally slipping under 410. In fact, we're down to 409 a gallon. So oil prices, or the fall in oil prices, is starting to have a pretty profound impact. Americans now collectively saving about $100 million every day, fueling up in light of the lower prices. And the good news is with oil prices again down today significantly, I think we'll see a fourth straight week of declines across the country.
Yeah, so instead of, I don't know, maybe subsidizing, more renewables, or I don't know. This makes no sense.
Did you hear that story of that guy who invented a hydrogen engine, and he actually drove from coast to coast on 20 gallons of water, and was like advancing this technology, and then all of a sudden he was eating with his brother, and he's like, he got poisoned. He's like, oh my God, they poisoned me, and he walked out and he died. Like, there's a lot of speculation as to how that happened, but there's technologies out there that they know of that can far surpass what gas can do, but they're hidden by the oil and gas industry. If there's anything that comes up, they buy the patents on batteries, yeah. You know, like it's ridiculous.
Clayton made me watch a whole technology about how Nikola Tesla was poisoned by the energy industry because he wanted to do wireless charging.
Yeah. The diesel guy was on a boat coming over here to talk about the diesel engine and how it could run on vegetable oil, and he disappeared in the middle of the ocean and nobody's seen him since.
Jimmy Carter was voted out by the oil and gas industry because he wanted to move to renewables also.
Oh yeah, I mean he had solar panels in the White House. And they were removed by Reagan. There's plenty of that. And also, you know, the first cars in the United States
were electric.
I mean, hell, Woodrow Wilson, one of his favorite cars that he used to drive was an electric car around Washington. Like, this lobby became massive. And so, of course, you know, this is the thing that's going to win the day. But again, gas prices are dropping. They're not cheap as where they were, like $2.98, you know, last year.
Yeah, we went from $4.59. I noticed today it's $4.56. So
That's something.
According to the overall price of crude, it's dropping precipitously. So again, president's all over the map on this. I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense to me. So let me know your thoughts on this story. Moving back to ethanol, this failed technology makes absolutely no sense. Hey, we've got more news we're going to get to here on the show. Just want to say thanks so much to the thousands of you who are maybe watching us for the first time. Great to see all of you. Yes, we've been banned on YouTube for reporting. You know, I had to say I got a lot of tweets today from people that said thank you for reporting on the Pfizer death story and the vaccines related to Pfizer and the statistics that came out about that. That's been totally covered up by the media. If you report on it, you get blocked. But here on Rumble, we've been able to report this story. This comes right from Pfizer's own documents.
I was just going to ask, do you remember where you got the source on all that information you were reporting on Pfizer death? Do you remember where that came from?
It was Pfizer's own release.
What?
Pfizer's
brought own to documents. You by Pfizer.
Did you happen to check the CDC to see if they verified the authenticity of it?
As a matter of fact, I did. I went to the CDC's website, and cdc.gov has those Pfizer documents on there. And then when we reported
those documents had to come out of a court order. Pfizer did not want to release them. So maybe it is in Pfizer's best interest to get media about those.
Well, also, I want to say, you know, you start digging in and you know who owns Pfizer, and you look at the two big companies in the world that own everything. And I'm going to talk more and more, I think, on this show about these two big companies, BlackRock and Vanguard, because They touch just about almost every story that we do here on the show. They own companies in their funds.
Yes.
That, you know what's crazy?
Absolutely responsible for just about everything that's shitty in the world right now.
BlackRock is on the board of Google, Alphabet.
Exactly. So all it takes is a phone call. And by the way, so is Vanguard. So all it takes is, and who owns Pfizer, right? So these people who own Pfizer, they can literally get on the phone that all of the money from advertising that we funnel to you, YouTube and Google, hey, we noticed there's a video that's talking about the Pfizer deaths related to the vaccine. Please, right now, pull that video down. Or if you don't, we simply pull all the money and advertising to your channel, to your company. That's exactly how it works.
Ben Bagdikian has been warning about media consolidation forever. It is real. We are here to prove it.
It's here, absolutely.
All right, we're going to get that mad as hell moment.
Oh, yeah.
From who?
From network. Yeah. I'm mad as hell. Oh. I want you to get up out of your seats. Go to your windows right now. We gotta include that in our loop, by the way.
We're always mad as hell. Yeah. So you get that right here.
I'm working on it. I was telling David today I need to look into this stuff up on a VPN because I've hit all of the really easy low-hanging fruit. Now if I'm gonna dig a little bit deeper, I'm gonna have to get on a VPN or I'll end up on a watch list.
I am worried though, copyright on network because it's a movie, so maybe we don't do that one, but we'll figure something out. Anyway, we've got more news to get to here on the show. We are gonna talk about in just a moment, we're gonna talk about Elon Musk, who's going after these ESG scams. Wait till you hear this story. It's going to piss off a lot of whiny woke liberals in California, in Silicon Valley. We're also going to talk about this new chemical warfare story that you're hearing all over the news of the past 24 hours. We're going to break that story wide open and much more. But first...
All right. First, we'd like to tell you about our show sponsor over at Audible. Audible is one of our favorite ways to keep ourselves educated and entertained in equal measure. Audio lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, including, I might add, an audiobook written by the two people you see sitting here together.
We have an audiobook.
We do have an audiobook.
Go get it for free.
And it is about how to pay off your mortgage quickly, free yourself from that one big liability that you're living for in your life, and you will be much freer. I hope you enjoy it and give us a good review. But back to Audible. You'll also discover exclusive audio Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and existing new voices. And also Audible now has original programming as well. As an Audible member, you can choose one title per month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Right now, you can sign up. We prefer to use, I lost my place. As an Audible member now, you can sign up for 30 days for free for a trial in the Audible app, and you will want to continue to be an Audible member. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores. I like to listen while I'm going to doing my trip to the market. You decide. So try now Audible for 30 days free. We thank them so much for their support of this show.
That's right. Our thanks to Audible. We've got more news here in a second. I just want to pull up my little thing here. My sister said I say dingus all the time. And
you do?
That's true. I do say dingus, and I mean it in the best way possible. Here's the dingus.
He means it like a widget, like an intangible.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. There we go. Okay. All right. And there we go. Okay.
Here we go.
All right. Well, it was only a matter of time before we got our next round of media propaganda, war propaganda. We've been shooting them down left and right here as these stories pop up in the Western media. Then they are later debunked. We've been talking about the famous Mark Twain quote, which has been used over and over on this show because it's so true that a lie can travel all the way around the world before truth has a chance to put on its pants. And that's what's been happening. It happened again over the weekend when reports started popping up all over Western media news outlets that Putin had used chemical weapons to attack troops in eastern Ukraine. And when I saw this story, of course, when I saw the story, I immediately started questioning things. Wait a second. Where is this information coming from? And if you watch this show, fortunately, I think you are rightfully skeptical, right? I would say most people who are watching this are probably pretty skeptical when you hear these stories now, that as soon as the Western media, like, it's on front page of every news organization, right? It's all over the Sunday talk shows. Chuck Todd is asking all of his guests about this new chemical attack, and the U.S. is indignant about it. And then 60 Minutes on Sunday night runs a whole interview with Vladimir Zelensky. Like, wake up, everyone, right? So I think you guys are smart enough to know that, who watch this show, and start to question things, not just fall in line with this Western media narrative. Well, we found out about this report, right? This report of Putin with this chemical attack. Where did it come from? We were questioning the sourcing on this. And it turns out, if you go right to the source, it comes from Ukrainian government officials, once again, by the way. It came from not just Ukrainian government officials, but it came from the Azov regiment in eastern Ukraine, the Nazi-run Azov battalion in eastern Ukraine.
So these are the things that have been controversial, right? Because we are supposed to believe Russia is bad, right? Which, like, we're not saying Russia had any business entering a country that did not welcome them. Okay. But then when you realize that arming Ukraine just sort of blindly with money and weapons is also maybe not the best strategy, because there has been a right-wing militia group, which is very Nazi-oriented, that has sort of merged with the Ukrainian military, right? And so for a long time, you weren't supposed to mention the Azov regiment or say that they had any type of...
Did we lose them?
I think so.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if that was my audio that went off or theirs.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It doesn't seem to be yours.
They probably haven't fixed their network yet.
No, they're back.
Oh, we're back. Sorry. Thank you guys for taking that. So just today, the Associated Press was covering this chemical weapons assertion, actually did mention that the assertion by the Azov regiment, and they gave a qualifier. They actually called them a far-right group that is now part of the Ukrainian military. So not only are they saying that they exist, that they are far-right, and they are actually a part of the military that Western countries are actively funding, and they further said they could not verify this assertion, there's three pieces here that is interesting that now Google has said that it will punish anyone for saying that the Azov Brigade is part of Ukrainian army. This is something that has not been widely accepted, but now these pieces of it, that they exist, that they have some kind of way to like release PR, that they are a far right, that they are a part of the military, and that we are not blindly just accepting their assertions anymore. So I think this is bigger than just like that one sentence.
You know, someone in our chat says, I haven't heard anything about a chemical attack. Well, you must be living under a rock, because it was literally all over the news and everywhere. Here's just an example on the BBC, but all over the news. But this is amazing, because as we reported last week, Google, yes, released this internal memo sent out to creators. And we've showed it right here. We showed the text. We showed the emails from Google that said, if you mention that the Azov battalion is part of the Ukrainian military, you will be deplatformed.
Well, specifically, it said if you say that Ukrainians are enacting violence on other people in the... And so...
Yes.
Wasn't the word genocide even in there, I believe?
I think it just
used the sort of like generic, if you say Ukrainians are inflicting violence on Ukrainians.
Right.
Like they're hurting their own people, I think is how they put it.
Which is something that has happened, yeah. Right? And so we can't quantify who is the worst of the worst at this point. We know what the Western media wants us to think. But what's interesting is that because we are supposed to buy the black and white sides, then you also can't believe any level of gray. And that's very dangerous. It has been very dangerous. And now the Associated Press is willingly, I mean, it's a world gone mad, right?
Well, no, I mean, so here the Associated Press also is embedded with the Azov battalion, which, why won't they say what they actually are, which are Nazis?
Well, they're calling them far right.
Far right. So what does it mean to be far right? I mean, okay, if you're far right, does that make you immediate? I mean, you can be far right and not be a Nazi? Like, can you be, can you be a libertarian, which is arguably far right? Does that make you a Nazi? I mean, what, but you can't say it in here. They are Nazis. They absolutely are Nazis.
Well,
and you can't say it. Nevertheless, let's just get back on track here, which is the Associated Press is saying that they cannot verify this report. Now, let's read it. In fact, in, you didn't read this, did you? On the air in
Mariupol. No, I didn't.
Here was the report from the Associated Press. In Mariupol, a strategic port city in Donbas, a Ukrainian regiment defending a steel mill claimed a drone dropped a poisonous substance on the city. It indicated that there were no serious injuries. But now the U.S., of course, is up. We're monitoring reports of possible chemical weapons attacks in Mariupol. And just watch the news about this, right? It's all over the news. You just turn on CNN this afternoon, MSNBC, and more. Chemical attacks are, we're really troubled. And then just go to Twitter. And this is what happened on Twitter. This is pretty amazing, because within a short amount of time, unless you're living under a rock, you would have seen like people like Adam Kinzinger, who's an absolute nut, Republican Adam Kinzinger, who claims he's a Republican, I don't know, says, if we let nukes prevent us from action, then expect literally every country to try to get nukes in a few years.
And literally every country has nukes already.
And, he's literally talking about this chemical attack. Like, again, these are the things being used by these clowns to try to get us into a nuclear war. Don't let them do it. I mean, these guys literally are in power in Washington, D.C. These guys are members of Congress. These guys have power. They were voted into office. And here is a guy basically saying, we need to use nuclear weapons. We need to use these nuclear weapons. And by the way, then I tweeted this a little while later. Remember, oops, wrong one. Shoot, I grabbed my wrong tweet. Damn it. But hey, that was a good tweet also.
It was a good tweet.
Damn it.
I want to know who elected that guy. Who elected that guy? Who elected somebody that is like just now become aware that nuclear proliferation is a big deal and that there are countries that have it and there are countries that want it. Like I've known this since I was like four.
Yeah,
Sean Penn. Sean Penn was on Hannity talking about how he thinks that we'll our legacy will be, you know, one of weakness if we don't.
Yeah, we need to use nukes.
Thanks, Sean Penn
calling for, you know, he's supposed to be a pacifist. We need nukes now. Here was my tweet. I'm sorry. Let me pull it up here. And I said to Adam Kinzinger, the responses to this batshit crazy tweet are almost worse than the original batshit crazy tweet itself. So you think the crazy one was Adam Kinzinger? Right. No, no, no. There's even more batshit crazy people. Lieutenant Colonel Bill Kilgore tweets, if our missile defense system is close to being 100%, I'd say go for it. Yeah, let's just go for it.
Is it?
Let's just go for it.
Here's let's another, say if it's
creme
98.
De la Kremlin. Here's another one. It's really frustrating. He says, Ukraine is a vanguard of democracy in an increasingly autocratic world. Why is the U.S. not providing greater military support? What can I do?
Ukraine is a vanguard of democracy. Okay, where did you get that from?
Ukraine.
But what, the day that he eliminated his competition parties that day?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, and this is the kind of, these are the people that are running the United States right now. I mean, these are the people that are continuing to run the United States.
But also just speaking to us, right? Because in the same story, I think I put another screenshot here of the same story is continuing to talk about the Bucha massacre, which we covered quite a bit in the last 2 weeks, right? And so it specifically, yes, that one. It continues to say the Azov Brigade says things to us. Okay, we're not sure about that. But then in the same story, it says Putin falsely claimed. Now, notice the hyperlink on falsely claim. Falsely claimed Tuesday that the Ukraine's accusations that hundreds of civilians were killed by Russian troops in the town of Bucha were fake. Associated Press reporters saw dozens of bodies in and around the town. The Associated Press saw bodies. It did not see who actually perpetrated the violence. We are not saying we know, but we're saying that seeing bodies doesn't mean you know who the killers were. Okay.
Well,
so then
was,
when you click that hyperlink to see what is Associated Press using as its proof that that was false, it's this story, which is just that Russians say it's false, right? So what they're saying is that Russians' claim is false Because we reported that Russia said it was false. Yeah, because
doesn't that say Washington AP? What is the AP? That means Associated Press, right? Did they just like source themselves as a source?
They sourced themselves. Yes.
They sourced themselves as proof. And I was like, wait, I'm here asking you to prove it to me. I want to know too. Who killed these people? Well, absolutely, like, I want to know that.
It's like Nick Price from the State Department, who or Ken Price. I never get the guy's
Ned
name.
Ned right. is his
Ned
name.
Ned Price. Ned.
I always remember his name because of Ned Ryerson.
Ned. Ned Price from the U.S. State Department, who we talked about it last night on the show, who was asked by the that reporter a few months ago, hey, what is your proof? You know, like, what is your proof of this, that they are doing these things? And he said, well, I just told you our proof. And he said, well, no. Well, like, what are your sources? And what is the proof that they are doing this thing? He's like, well, I'm telling you.
He's like, I can write it down and distribute it for you. So this is the exact same thing.
That's exactly what the Associated Press is linking to itself about their, you know, about their proof here.
So I'm waiting, just like you, to find out, you know, conclusively who did this. And why journalists are using themselves as proof of what the Ukrainian government wants us to believe. And we're going to put a pin in that, you guys.
Also, we want to talk about this because this is another angle to this story, which is we have the chemical propaganda. And again, these stories continue to crumble. And let me just remind you, I guess, right? We kept hearing this from Ukrainian officials. How many stories have now crumbled, right? Spider Island, or was it Spider Island, I think? Was that the name of the island where you had those
Snake Island,
where you had those brave Ukrainian soldiers who were then, when were confronted by that Russian warship, said, who are you, Russians? No, I'm not leaving. And apparently were shot and killed. That didn't happen. They were taken into custody.
I don't know. I'm not following this story.
You don't remember the Snake Island story? We wrote about it in the newsletter.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Vasily Zaitsev was there, and the Red Baron as well, and like, right. You know, all this.
Snoopy was fighting. Yeah. We've debunked story after story after story now that have come from these Ukrainian officials with very little sourcing, and all of the Western media jumps all over it immediately. Well, the news this morning, though, that we did cover in the newsletter is about how we're now seeing U.S. weapons making their way into Russia. Follow me on this one. U.S. weapons now making their way into Russia. How exactly is this happening?
Oh, because we pumped the Iraqi government full of them.
Yeah, this is amazing.
And then they said, we got enough. Do you want some? Now, you know, Iran supports Russia in this conflict. And so new reports now are saying that they have sort of made their way through smuggling channels. I'm not sure how much that needed to be underground, because it is pretty overt that these countries support Russia.
Absolutely, they are. So how is this flowing, right? The Guardian reporting tonight, again, this comes from The Guardian, and Russia using weapons smuggled by Iran from Iraq.
Oh, lost him again.
Yep, lost him again. But yeah, I mean, this is like, it shouldn't be surprised that this is what happens. I mean, look at all the weapons that we left in. Where did we just leave a bunch of weapons?
Afghanistan.
Yep. You know, like, these weapons got to go somewhere. And if they have a way that they can sell them and make money.
Yeah. I mean, we've never cared about this, because like, we don't care if Russia and Ukraine are fighting each other with our weapons, we're still making the money off the military industrial complex. And we don't care who uses our weapons against who, as long as they exactly. don't use them against us.
Exactly.
We're back, guys, I think.
Welcome back.
Yep, thank welcome you. Back.
Okay, sorry, let me take two.
Yes, you're right. Afghanistan is the place where we just left our weapons before. So we're like kids that don't pick up our things.
Like Crimson in our chat says, this is nuts. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts, right? So we funneled billions upon billions of dollars of weapons into Iraq, right? 19 years now, think about that invasion, going after weapons of mass destruction, and think about the amount of vehicles and all sorts of guns and armaments and anti-aircraft batteries, on and on and on, right? So now, as The Guardian reports, these are now flowing into Russia via Iran, which has seized many of these weapons. And the same thing can be said of what's all of our dumpings in Yemen and other places around the world that are just sitting there, sitting inside of Afghanistan. And by the way, before I just kind of show you on the map here, this shouldn't be surprising at all. I mean, they're picking up used stuff that we've left behind. But just think about all of this, the weapons they're already finding that are being used in this war to begin with. It doesn't matter. They're buying them anyway. Well, so they're either buying them or they're picking them up used in other countries.
A recent study showed that even in U.S. municipal police departments, up to 10% of weaponry just goes missing. Like, they don't know what happened to it, right? But according to The Guardian, because Iraq has hosted U.S. and Western troops since the 2003 overthrow of Saddam Hussein, and the U.S. has trained and supplied various Iraqi army and special forces units to defend the Baghdad government against insurgencies, after two decades of war, the country is awash with weaponry. Awash with weaponry. That's someplace you don't want to live. If your country is awash with weaponry.
No, what would I want to be awash with? Like, I'd like to be awash with
chickens.
Chickens. I'd like to be awash with pastry.
Healthcare.
Healthcare. Yeah.
Education.
Education. But maybe not weapons. So let me just show you on the map here. I got the pencil out here. Let me just show you what this looks like for those of you that are still wondering how the Guardian gets to this, right? So the U.S. decides, here's the U.S., okay? The U.S. invades Iraq, right? And brings with it billions of dollars in weapons when it does, right? And then leaves in what? What year did we leave? 2015, I guess, from Iraq, technically?
I mean, we're still there. So.
I mean, we're still there. But I mean, technically, if you look at the war years, I guess, if you want to say that. And we built a brand new embassy in there in the green zone and just continue to funnel all sorts of resources.
Well, Congress has not still declared an end to that conflict for soldiers to claim benefits. So I'm not sure.
Okay. So we continue. Yeah. Okay. So we continue then to funnel money in there. So then from Iraq, that all that crap just sort of like sits there and just is growing, right? All of these weapons sitting there, and all of these like third-party contractors continue to get weapons.
It looks like the Lorax, like we're growing it's a nice
fuzzy,
things.
It's a fuzzy Lorax is what it is. Maybe I should cover it orange, right?
Can you just draw a gun or something or a bayonet?
How about a bomb? How about a little bomb? Okay, here's a little bomb. Okay. There's a little, or it looks like a cherry. So that's all in Iraq sitting there. And then over here is Iran, right? Which basically has come in, taken those weapons, funneling them right back out to its partners and keeping them some, by the way, keeping some in Iran, funneling them out to other allies, including Russia. That's how this all works, guys. So we have been funneling weapons to Russia via this carousel.
Well, I also kind of want to see a line going from Iran back to the U.S., back to Nicaragua, and then showing one going from the U.S. to Afghanistan, then to Russia, then back to Afghanistan. And like, yeah, I mean, are you following me here? Like, maybe supplying everybody with our weapons during their war isn't the best policy.
No, and then we should wipe the whole thing away, because then we even still have enough weapons left over that are extra that we then give to U.S. United States police departments. So we can arm the shit out of these United States police departments. Like a little town in Maine for like a 4th of July festival needs an armored vehicle. Yeah, that's the case. In like these little hamlets, these little police departments need armored vehicles and SWAT team vehicles and everything yes. else. So they have tanks and armored Humvees and everything else from the United States. Thank you, taxpayers, for your $813 billion that have gone to fund all of this crap.
I mean, we don't learn.
No, we don't learn.
And, well, we do.
We do. They don't.
Yeah. Right.
And we just keep putting them right back in there.
There's other evidence tonight, really troubling evidence, about U.S. troops in Ukraine. We're going to get to that story in a moment. The evidence from French journalists who are there covering this story and who are reporting back to French newspapers. By the way, we should point out that the French were those that broke the story about about Zelensky, right? They were reporting back to the French television media talking about the corruption inside of the Zelensky government.
Oh, right. We covered this on the show where there was a a journalist who said, you know, Zelensky has done these bad things, and the anchors were like this.
Mm-hmm. Can't talk about that. We can't talk about Bruno. Can't talk about Bruno. We got more news to get to here on the show.
All right. Well, get a sweater if you need to. I just got a little chill in the air, and we're going to move on to our show sponsor. And then we're going to talk about ethical investing, about how Wall Street is so woke and unethical.
That's right.
Do you need some help here?
I don't need help. Okay, I'm good to go. All right. Well, what is, you know, right now, Americans have a big problem with their credit scores. A lot of medical debt is driving up people's credit scores. Overall, people are taking on way more debt than they can handle right now because inflation is out of control. We have the CPI numbers that we reported on at the top of the show are way worse than the government is telling you. So credit scores are being absolutely hammered right now. And that's where our friends at ScoreMaster come in, because they can help you get up to 61 points added to your credit score in just a few weeks. And they have a thing called the 3-week rule, and it may be the best financial advice ever. What is the 3-week rule? Just wait 3 weeks to buy that new car. Wait 3 weeks to refinance your mortgage. Wait 3 weeks to finance any major purchase. Why 3 weeks? Because that's how fast the average ScoreMaster user takes to boost his or her credit score, an average of 61 points. And listen, 61 points added to your credit score can save you tens of thousands on everything that you finance these days. ScoreMaster technology was developed by credit data scientists to boost your credit score higher and faster than you thought possible. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute. That's all it does to get started, and you don't have to wait months for your best credit score. Try ScoreMaster for free right now, and you can see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. All you need to do is go to ScoreMaster.com/redacted. That's ScoreMaster.com/redacted. Again, ScoreMaster.com/redacted. And I have to say, they give away so many other things when you sign up with ScoreMaster and try them out. They have a whole thing where, do you know that your data is being sold to all sorts of data brokers all over the world?
Yes,
like
I knew
that.
Like
if you do like a search, people have your access to your social security number, your address. And the CEO of ScoreMaster said when he did a search, he found like his daughter's personal information being sold by data brokers. He's like, enough, no freaking way. So as part of your ScoreMaster sign up, you can actually go in and delete that stuff. They have a system where you just go in, swipe, and it's all deleted from these data brokers. Like, you get to take your data back from these scumbags. So go check them out right now. ScoreMaster.com/redacted. Our thanks for supporting the show. Really, really love those guys. All right. So let's talk about this story. This is a really troubling story out of Ukraine. Once again, we don't have enough Ukraine stories in the show today, but U.S. troops reported now being on the ground. Now, we've been talking about this for weeks here on the show, that there are U.S. troops, or we suspected U.S. troops there in Ukraine, driving or pulling the strings of the puppets and the puppet masters, so to speak. Well, now we have confirmation of this, and further confirmation, in fact, that they're not just there sort of passively hanging out, taking orders from Ukrainians. No, it's quite the other way around. According to journalists, it is U.S. troops in Ukraine, boots on the ground, something we were told would not happen, which would lead to World War III. Remember President Biden's own words. They are there leading Ukrainian forces and calling the shots on the battlefield.
Well, this comes from a journalist who embedded with three French volunteers who had military experience when Ukraine called for anyone to come and help them defend their nation. Three Frenchmen traveled to Ukraine, went there, and were stopped at the border by Americans who said, actually, we're in charge here. We'll decide where you go. You answer to us. And there is, in fact, video.
Yeah, so let's listen to the French. This is subtitled, so please take a look and view this closely on your screen. Watch what this French reporter is saying.
Unless you speak French, then just listen in.
Yeah, if you speak French, you're fluent in French, and you can understand this. But this is a reporter writing for a French publication and being interviewed about this on French media. Listen to his assessment.
Et j'ai accompagné des volontaires français. C'est-à-dire que vous savez, il y a un certain nombre. Il y a eu un appel au début du président Zelensky qui a demandé à des volontaires internationaux qui souhaitaient, qui avaient des expériences de combat. Et donc j'ai accompagné trois Français, dont un qui a déjà été militaire avant, et deux qui avaient combattu ensemble au Rojava avec les Kurdes contre Daesh. Donc des gens qui avaient des expériences militaires. J'ai passé plusieurs jours avec eux, et j'ai eu la surprise, et eux aussi, de découvrir in fine que pour pouvoir aller dans l'armée ukrainienne, eh bien, c'est les Américains qui sont à la manœuvre. C'est-à-dire que nous, on a failli se faire arrêter. On a été confronté à un Américain qui est venu nous dire « Ici, c'est moi qui commande. C'est pas les Ukrainiens qui commandent, c'est moi qui commande. » Je parle de la formation et de l'enrôlement dans l'armée ukrainienne de volontaires internationaux. Voilà. Le type m'a même donné son nom. C'est un ancien de la guerre d'Irak. J'ai fait mes vérifications. C'est un reportage qu'on peut retrouver dans le Figaro magazine.
I mean,
well, now they're calling this but it's a secret war, right? So there are also similar reports about soldiers from the United Kingdom, and they're saying, well, you know, and I think media strategists are saying Vladimir Putin knows your secret, right? He's known for a long time because the Russians can hack everything.
We've been saying this for a long time. This is a freaking proxy war, right? I mean, that's what all of this is. This is a proxy war that Ukrainians are not doing this on their own. The United States is sending as many freaking weapons as they possibly can here to prop this up.
I'm not really clear what you mean by that, a proxy war. I mean, like, we support it without supporting it.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'm just not clear on the way the term is used.
Right. Like, we don't have to claim that it's our war, right? It's a war by proxy. So we get to blame Russia. We get to not actually physically be there, but we get to Ukraine gets to do our bidding.
But I think what we're proving here is that's not a proxy war. If we're there, we're there.
Well, I guess, yeah, but officially, we're not there. We don't have the big video ceremonies where all of these troops are leaving Dover, Delaware, and they're flying off in those massive.
But the
aircraft.
Only reason that we're doing that is because Congress would have to approve it. And Americans don't support it. So Americans would be upset at their elected officials for voting for it, even though they are, in fact, voting for it with their actions.
I mean, they get their war. They get their cake and they get to eat it. They get their cake and they get to eat it, too. So they get their war. They get to, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, they get to make as much money as possible off of this war. But they don't have to we don't have to physically declare it a war.
Right.
We get to basically use Ukrainians as cannon fodder for our bidding.
Yeah.
Well, and you've propagandized the United States people that they're putting Ukrainian flags on their profiles and in full support of it because Russia's bad.
Right. And you also don't have to then take extra care of the soldiers who fought in those areas. If it was not declared a combat zone, then they don't get extra benefits when they finally get to retirement. So it saves us money to not declare those things actual wars.
I mean, it's really, really troubling. I mean, and you hear, you have Lloyd Austin, by the way. This is amazing. Like Lloyd Austin sitting there. Here's from Fox News. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin speaks to Ukrainian soldiers training on Switchblade drones in Biloxi, Mississippi, before they return today to defend their country. Like, the Secretary of Defense is helping Ukrainian soldiers with their training on Switchblade drones.
Okay.
Is he a Switchblade drone operator?
No.
He's the head of the Pentagon.
I sure hope not that he's using like stuff that looks like he got it at like Staples. Like, can we get this guy? Look at that. He's got like
his mouse and keyboard are nowhere near him, which means somebody started that thing for him.
Like some little Photoshop.
I was wondering if that is a smart keypad. But no, it's just paper.
It's just notes. Yeah. Like he's just reading off of a prepared
his
remarks.
His pen isn't even close.
But as this French reporter says, you know, Boris Johnson's visit to Kyiv, Kyiv confirms London's place as Ukraine's first ally. Elite SAS special forces have been present in Ukraine since the beginning of the war, as have armed American Delta Force, confides a French intelligence source. Yes, they're there. They're running the show. They're calling the shots.
My ignorance. Delta Force then is enlisted active military. They're not contractors.
Right. Delta Force is like one of the best of the best in the United States.
Okay. Well, and we saw the videos of
Green Berets.
Of those people there. We knew they were there. And it's like, you got to know that if they're there, there's more there than, like, they're not going to send like five guys.
No. Sorry. I thought we went offline again, and I was
oh.
I was trying to be careful. So I stopped, but we're here. Gotcha. Yeah.
Can you say that again?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, whoever
was just speaking. Oh, lost you guys? I was saying that we saw the videos of us having special forces there already. And it's like we know that they're not just going to send 5-10 guys there. They're going to send, you know, a bunch of people. They were training soldiers, all this other stuff. So we've been there. Make no mistake, we've probably been there for a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, but the videos we had showed, though, were sort of like volunteers, were essentially like mercenaries.
No. Before that, before the volunteers, we showed actual footage of soldiers that were there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's the case. You're like real quiet. Do you have something you don't want to? You're like biting your tongue or something?
I'm not. Okay.
I don't know if something's going on that you're not telling me.
No.
Okay.
She just didn't want to get a freeze frame of of a scary face. Is that what?
No. I have expressed my outrage. I thought that's okay. All I got. Yep. I cannot fake it for you.
We'll see what happens out of all this with Finland, though, because that's going to be the next. I mean, that's the next push. And right. So that's going to be the interesting one with Russia amassing troops now on the Finnish border because of the rapid entrance into NATO, what they're calling for like by the summer. So that's what I'm kind of keeping my eye on because that'll be.
And they're going to fast track that, you know. So yeah. NATO, you've got Finland, and who else is also on the list right now? They're trying to like fast track
Sweden. Sweden.
And now the move trying to fast track in Ukraine as well. And that is now back on the table, but you know,
Finland and Sweden, excuse me.
But you know, hey, maybe we're there. Let's get our nukes ready, as Adam Kinzinger wants us to get ready to prevent anything further. So we get our nukes ready and just blow this country up.
Okay. I don't vote for that.
No, I don't either.
No.
I don't
and
know.
I think it, like I also see like the way to interpret it, what he's saying is we can't let the fact that other people have nukes keep us from going to war with them. Which, you know, I guess still that's the whole point of like mutually assured destruction. Like what are we going to do? We're going to let them nuke us and not nuke back? No.
Yes. The military has a saying like no bus, which is nobody but us should have certain specifically it relates to cyber warfare, but, you know, other weapons could apply. And it just doesn't work. It doesn't work that way because governments are so. You know, this is what they do. They try and find out each other's secrets and get those secrets for themselves. That's how the world works. Doesn't work.
It still just blows me away that the only country in the world to ever use nuclear weapons is us. And we're the ones being like, you can't have them. You better not have those. But it's like, hey, we want to have them to defend ourselves from you.
Yeah. Same with cyber weapons. The United States struck first. With our cyber attack on Iran's nuclear plants, but you know,
and also
still,
what we did to Merkel, like with our phones, like
spy on allies. It's interesting though, because this might be like kind of tangential, but still like sort of applies what's going on here. Was like the argument that the reason we used nuclear weapons in Japan was as a sign to Russia, who was pushing in towards the Korean border. And so it was like it had nothing to do with Japan at all. It was a show of force to Stalin.
Well, there's a lot to be said. All you need to do is read. There's a great new book out, actually, that I just finished a few months ago on the what's it called? It's by Malcolm Gladwell. It's one of his new books on the bomber mafia, which was the group deciding, you know, how are we going to get either more targeted attacks or more widespread attacks? And certainly in Japan, all of our massive firebombings like did way more damage. We were way more effective and already bringing that country to its knees in our firebombing. And I'm forgetting the chemical off the top of my head because it's late. Napalm, you know, already destroying because so many of these houses were made of paper. I mean, like literally paper. So all it took was just this incendiary devices and we had already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they need to get their internet fixed.
Yeah, hopefully that gets fixed, that connection. At least, hey, that's a good freeze frame. They're both look fine, both of them. Yeah. I mean, some people in the chat said, Ed said specifically, so you wouldn't have ended the Japan war? Like, just because they used the nuke doesn't mean you could have not ended the war in a different way.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. It's like, so basically at the time, and like this, I can't give you the source because it's been a long time since I've read this book and I can't remember the name of the book. I'll have to look into it. But basically Japan was already attempting to surrender, and the U.S. had two problems. One, that Japan wouldn't renounce their emperor as a god king because they felt that was part of what why the generals in Japan acted the way they did. And two, because Russia was moving in on through Korea, that even though Japan was attempting to surrender, the U.S. dropped the bombs anyway. So the narrative that World War II would have continued indefinitely had America not done that is a false narrative. But like I said, I would point you to the book I read. It was a long time ago, so I can't remember. That's I'll have awful. To look it up. Yeah.
Yeah, the book I was talking about was The Bomber Mafia by Malcolm Gladwell. It's really, really good. Really interesting military aviation history, but also around that. And, you know, you can Monday morning quarterback, like dropping the bomb or not, but it's an interesting discussion at that, you know, to have. All right. Let's move on, shall we?
All right. I'll let you introduce this one.
All right. Just give me a second.
Oh, you don't want to?
No, I will. I just was done the last three stories in it.
Okay.
I don't know if you were checked out or not.
I'm not checked out. I'm here.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to?
No, I'm just checking. I just want to make sure. Yeah. Let me just pull up my notes here. Sorry. All right.
We'll give each other some time. Yeah, settle in.
Well, we both, you know, we're still recovering from COVID. So we both had COVID last week. And it turns out a lot of people have COVID lately. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about going to the mall this weekend and getting it.
Yeah. Might as well stock up now and get that recovery. Yeah.
So there was a breakout in our fourth grade class, and our daughter brought it home, and our oldest also had it, and then we had it. And there was another little girl in the class who had it, and the mom was feeling sick, but she just would not test positive. And she was getting so frustrated because she had the same symptoms as all of us. And then finally today she tested positive. She's like, I never thought I'd be so happy to have it, but it's super annoying to feel sick and be around everyone testing positive and not at least get that recovery certificate or that, you know, actual confirmation that you've got the immunity. And I said, well, you know, at least, you know, you're popular. So at least it means you have friends.
All right, let's talk about this story. So Elon Musk is now taking on ESG investing, or being a woke investor, I guess, which you could call it that either way, meaning investing in companies with great ESG scores. Now, don't let your eyes fog over with the story. I think it's a really important story, and it speaks to the future of where our companies are going in the United States and around the world, and what this, you know, World Economic Forum is calling for during this sort of Great Reset, and really calling for a major focus on ESG, which means environmental, social, and corporate governance. That's what it stands for, ESG. So basically, if you as an investor are thinking about investing in a company, you might sit back and say, hey, I'm pretty woke, right? I care about the environment. I care about social justice. So where does McDonald's come down on that number? Well, not too long ago, a group got together and basically BlackRock decided to push the whole industry towards this ESG scale. Which is basically using a bunch of different metrics to figure out how well these companies do. The ratings came from the MCI Incorporated, which had, by the way, counts BlackRock as its largest customer. So MCI was kind of conducting these data points, and BlackRock was pushing them in that regard. So of course they're not going to be biased, right? Because they're their biggest customer. And so they're telling them what to do. So these ratings, of course, dominate the world of sustainable investing. Well, Elon Musk this week came out and slammed this whole process, saying that this is I'm increasingly convinced that corporate ESG is the devil incarnate.
Well, ESG has no standards, right? You can slap this label like anything you buy in the store where the package says bio, right? There's no organic standards. There's no real, like, the FDA allows, you know, most marketing companies to use this, even though there's no There's no burden of proof here. In fact, American investors have put more than $20 billion in ESG funds just in 2019 alone, thinking that, oh, this will save the world because these are funds that focus on climate, homophobia, fossil fuels. Like, basically, they're saying that these are funds that cover all manner of sins. Well, you know, if you really start to look into what you invest in, it's really impossible to only invest in a fund that is all clean energy, or that is all sustainable energy, or that is all maybe you don't want to invest in meat or anything that's hard on the planet. You don't want to invest in tobacco or guns. Like, that's almost impossible. But this one investor, Larry Fink, saw this need in the market for investors to feel good about themselves, where they put their money, and started to slap this label on funds and say, well, we are, you know, we're only going to invest in things that are good for the world. But what you do then when you invest in an ESG is you take your shareholder rights and you put it in the hands of this one person who is managing the fund. In many cases, it's Larry Fink. And you say, I sort of give up my shareholder right for the company to be a fiduciary to me, and I trust this guy. Then I'm going to let him exercise my shareholder rights, right? Which is interesting because Larry Fink, who is the sort of founder of the ESG movement, he says that all of his funds will be sustainable in BlackRock, even the ones that don't have this ESG label. Yet he is the largest shareholder of PetroChina, which is the listed arm of the Chinese natural petroleum company. So that is in no way a sustainable company. It's just sort of a way for middle class people to feel good about their investing.
And so, you know, Elon Musk tweets this and says that ESG should be deleted if not fixed. So how do you fix it? Well, one of the biggest problems with ESG is you talked about the standards. I mean, again, the truth is that the social and the governance aspects of the score have just as much weight, sometimes even more, than a company's environmental impact. So, for instance, Tesla, this is amazing, right? So look at Tesla's ESG score. They're rated 28.5, which is medium risk. Now, here's a company that literally makes electric cars, okay, which pushed, like, in a large way, the largest number of electric cars in the United States.
Okay, but it makes it of pieces that are not sustainable. So we can at least, we can say, yes, Tesla can be problematic.
Okay, but the problem is that this is weighted because of his social score. So S stands for social, which judges things such as how well a company embraces social justice, and also what does their leaders do with their Twitter feed. And so basically, because, you know, Silicon Valley and others don't like when Elon Musk tweets, this score is lower. Because when you look, when you stack it up against Ford, for instance, Ford Motor Company, I mean, here's a company that literally creates, like, the biggest gas guzzling cars,
yes,
in the world, and yet they're I mean, look at that score. I mean, literally neck and neck with Tesla. Are you kidding me? And just do the same thing. You can actually go to their website, and I would encourage all of you to do this. Go to Sustainalytics.com. This is where you can play around with this if you want. Sustainalytics.com. There's one of two companies. Refinitiv is one, and the other is Sustainalytics. So let's just try this. You want to name a company here? Anybody?
Okay. Procter & Gamble.
Lockheed.
Oh. Okay. Oh, Lockheed. Yeah, I like that. Lockheed, which makes weapons, right? Which makes weapons. Let's see how Lockheed stacks up. Look at that.
Right there with Tesla.
Oh. Okay. So let's see. So wait a minute. Actually, no. You know what? This is because the lower this score is on Sustainalytics, the better it is. The lower the number, the it is on this. On Refinitiv, the higher the number. So these two use two different
analytics. So Lockheed Martin is better than Tesla.
Lockheed Martin is better than Tesla. Are you kidding me? Like, here's a company that literally kills people with its weapons. And I mean, and they have a better score than... And so the thing is, you can feel better about it because this, no members of the Lockheed board are out there tweeting.
I want to see one more. I want to see one more. DuPont.
Okay, let's do...
Just indulge
name
me on
them. All right, DuPont. Yeah. Let's see how DuPont stacks up. DuPont Chemical. Oops, I missed. I got to click on it here. DuPont DuPont Chemical. Oh,
medium risk. Okay.
DuPont Chemical. I would see who is Monsanto owned by anyone else? Dow. Who owns Monsanto at this point?
Does it Altria Group own Monsanto, or am I?
I don't know. Let me know, guys. Know in the chat. DuPont. Yeah. What about Dow? Let's see. Dow Chemical. Dow Chemicals. Let's see how Dow Chemicals stacks up. Oh,
even lower. This is the best one yet.
So Dow Chemicals actually does a better job, according to their ESG score, than Tesla at 20.5. This is hilarious, so, guys.
Bayer owns Monsanto.
Oh, do they? Okay.
And Bayer is a German company, which, and because they have German ownership now, so Bayer, Tesla actually better than Bayer. Okay, good. We're doing better here.
Interesting.
But the bottom line is Lockheed Martin, I mean, we could put Northrop Grumman in here. We could put Honeywell and other weapons manufacturers literally kill people with their with their production. And they have a better ESG score, environmental social governance score than does Tesla.
Yes. I mean, we hired a fiduciary to manage some of our funds because I wanted to invest in exchange traded funds. And I was like, which ones are sustainable? Which ones, you know, wouldn't.
This is years ago.
And yeah. He was like, you can't really, because even if you choose ones that maybe have this, you know, stamp on them, they're still going to be like mixed with other things. If you really want to invest sustainably, either you own your own money. Which, as Tom Wheelwright likes to talk about, you own your own assets, performing assets, or you cherry pick stocks that you think are that are sustainable, that you believe in. The problem is that most likely if you have an IRA or you have a 401k that are invested in these stocks, there are people who are choosing ESG funds as a way to sort of make themselves feel good, right? And they are then handing over your shareholder rights. So what you should do is you absolutely should look at your 401k statements, at your IRA statements, whatever funds you've got, and see, are any of these ESGs? And can you talk to the fund manager and say, I want out of those? Because, you know, maybe they're good investments, maybe they're not. You should evaluate them on the merit of them as investments. But you absolutely should not sell yourself any type of superiority because you're invested in them. And you should think about, because yes, you are saying that the belief system of these fund managers is what I'm on board with, right? So you better be on board with it.
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous too. I mean, this just speaks to the woke problem here, right? Which is you can, like, a company can do one thing while also has slave labor that they're using in Africa. You know, but on the one hand, they can come out and support like Black Lives Matter. We've talked about like Nike, right? We stand with like Colin Kaepernick. But at the same time, never mind what we're doing in our sweatshops, you know, but our ESG score is good. Like this is why it's hilarious. By the way, the tweet that started this all, I put it up on the screen before where he says, I'm increasingly convinced. But Mark Andreessen was the catalyst for this. Dirty clothes are ESG, he tweets. And then Dan McArdle, who started this, said, related, clothes dryers in the United States use more energy than all Bitcoin mining. So not doing your laundry must be very ESG if you incorrectly believe that Bitcoin mining is so bad. Like this idea that, you know, hey, you can get a high ESG score by doing really terrible things.
Maybe that's how DuPont did so well, because they make the nylon like the old clotheslines, and so you can put the clothesline up and they're like, look, we're saving all this energy because you're not using your dryer.
Sure. Yeah.
or like Bayer, yeah, like never. And you know, we make aspirin to make your headache go away, but never mind the fact that we have pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and all of the stuff that Monsanto makes that destroys the earth.
I worked with a cameraman that had like Bayer tattooed on where he shaved his head because he believed that it, like, its chemicals had killed his mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Like, as a...
I thought you were about to tell a joke.
That's not a joke.
No. He had tattooed on his head? Holy smokes.
When you look at, like, the particularly in India comes to mind, but, like, Monsanto's use of proprietary seeds and fertilizer so that these Indian farmers then basically, lost the ability to grow their own crops if they didn't buy everything from Monsanto, and so they were out drinking pesticides as like a protest. Like these farmers were committing suicide by pesticide because they couldn't afford.
My God,
well, but that's it's safe though. Remember that guy that was being interviewed saying that it was completely safe to drink, and then he's like, "Well, then drink some." And he's like, "No, I'm not stupid." He's like, "Well, you just said it was safe."
Oh my gosh. Well, that's going to do it for our show today. I do want to thank our last show sponsor before we take some of your rumbles and some of your chats here for the, before we wrap things up. I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because what's interesting now is I wanted to set up, I thought, you know, we've talked about how you can get all these free stocks, right, with Moomoo. If you go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, but you can get 5 free stocks up to $7,000. That's great. That's wonderful. But what's even better is how to make money using their platform, right? Forget about just the free stocks for a minute. Start trading like a pro with Moomoo. And here's, I think what I'm going to do is, I have an idea. I'm going to start like a really small account. And I want you to kind of follow along with me. We'll kind of track it here on the show over the couple of weeks. We won't do it every day. But with Moomoo, you guys get set up, make a small deposit. And that's what I'm going to do, just like a small account, maybe like $100 or $500 account, something cheap, something small. And we're going to grow that account. And whether it's in crypto or it's in stocks, you can do all of that right on Moomoo. And so that's what I want to do, is teach you how to use it right here very simply. And we'll kind of follow along. So just go to redacted.inc, that's our website, /Moomoo. Get started today. Download the app. Make an initial deposit, you get those free stocks, and even if you don't want those stocks, you can sell them, then you've got free money. And then you can start taking some of their free courses, and you can learn and follow along. And I'm going to be doing day trading in the afternoons. That's what I do in the afternoons anyway. And I'd love for you to follow along with me and make some great money. Like today I was trading Veru, V-E-R-U stock, L-X-I-T today as well, and some other stocks. And just in that trade over this afternoon, made around $7,000 just doing those trades. So I want to teach you how to do it. Use Moomoo to do it, because you can trade and get free level 2 data. And it's, you know, it's a great way to be empowered. So you're not having to answer to the man, you know, take control of your finances this way and do it smart. So again, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, download the Moomoo app today, get your free stocks. And we'll kind of do a really small account challenge here. And we'll kind of follow it and track it. And I'll show you it here on the show going forward. You might have to use a VPN too, Janine. If you're in New Zealand, or someone's saying they couldn't use it in Belgium, use a VPN. You know, just jump on and use a VPN and try it and give it a shot. All right.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's been our pleasure. Absolutely. We will be back here tomorrow. We broadcast every day at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter.
Except for Friday.
Yes. And subscribe to our newsletter, please. It's morninginvest.com.
Now it looks like David's the one who was frozen.
He was just throwing up the end slate a bit early.
Oh. Do we have... Do we have any rumbles, or how do these work? I don't know.
Yeah, so we didn't get any, but we don't have a way to go back to them. So I got a plan now in the future. Alex and I kind of talked about a plan to have a moderator grab those and screen capture them for us, and then we can get to them at the end of the show. So we'll start like promoting that and getting that into the routine.
Okay. Cool.
Good. All right, guys. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow. Thanks so much for watching, and be safe, everyone. Have a great night.
Yep.